was the opening of Prayers for Cassie, and it was played by pianist Josh Cavassos with cellist Tina Guo. I'm Erica Worth, and welcome to this pianist podcast. Today I am catching up with the American pianist and composer, Josh Cavassos.
Josh, it's lovely to meet you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, Erica. Thank you so much for having me.
You're very, very welcome. And I loved reading all about you and Cassie's story. So maybe if you could just tell the listener all about this journey, how it all began.
Absolutely. So Cassie Martinez is a friend and former student of mine. I taught her piano lessons many years ago. And so Cassie experienced something called non-Hodgkin's lymphoma in 2016. And she went through a cancer journey for 3 years. I was asked to play for a benefit concert for her in 2017. And instead of just performing like a standard repertoire piece, I thought, Cassie and her family are so important to me. I had taught her for several years piano lessons, and I thought, what would be the most special for me is to be able to write a piece of music. And
Oh.
so I wrote something called Prayers for Cassie, and it's a piano and cello duet. And I had a chance to perform that at the benefit concert in 2017. And thankfully, Cassie went on to be cancer free in 2019. She was declared cancer free. My family and I attended her end of chemo party, and
Oh.
we were just so thrilled to see. Here's this amazing person, amazing family. She's been through this horrific journey, but she just took every step with such hope and with such grace. And Cassie and I talked at the end of chemo party, and we said, Cassie, if we ever have a chance to share your story on a larger scale, maybe it's a documentary format, maybe the piece of music could be part of that documentary. In order to share hope for those that are going through cancer, would you be interested in that? And she said, absolutely. And so that conversation took place 6 years ago.
Oh wow.
So
So this all
this
came about after her recovery then, the
it
project.
did. Yes. So the piece of music was written. I wrote that as she was going through her treatments, but then we have this conversation after she's declared cancer free, and just after this giant journey that she's been on, and just going, if we can share her story, if there's a way we can share it to just encourage others who are going through it. So maybe we can create
Oh.
this anthem of hope, this piece of music, we can record it
Yeah.
in a documentary of hope for those that are going through cancer, just to encourage them in their walk that they're not
Yes.
alone, and that there is hope, and that there is strength in the journey. So yeah, that took place in 2019, and thankfully we had the opportunity a couple of years ago to create this documentary, an anthem of hope that we had been dreaming about for all these years.
That's fantastic. I mean, I've watched the documentary and it's extremely moving. It's about 30 minutes
Thank
long,
you.
isn't it?
Yes, thank you
Yeah.
so much.
Yes, and I mean, along the way, she gets very choked up because some of the people she met along the way did not make it, did they? I mean, that's terrible for her.
Yes, correct.
Terrible
Yeah.
for her. Yeah. And obviously music was so important in her life. Do you think her love of music helped her or gave her comfort during these hard times?
Absolutely. I think that as she describes in the documentary, I think her love for music and the arts really just helped her, gave her solace during that time. There was a nonprofit called Hearts Need Art that would come and play music for her during that time, and would help her. They would paint and draw and listen to music and play music. And so she just described that as just this emotional therapy for her. And it's just, I can't imagine going through what she went through, but then having, for example, this Hearts Need Art and these wonderful arts therapies that you can just escape in each day, and just for a moment of time, maybe it's 30 minutes, maybe it's an hour, just kind of put aside everything else and be able to just dive into this world of art. So absolutely, yeah, such an emotional therapy for her.
That's amazing. I mean, they do say music heals, don't they? I mean, we don't know with regards to cancer, but you know, whenever once when you're feeling sad or depressed or whatever, or missing someone, you know, turn on a piece of your favorite music and it really does take you somewhere else, doesn't it?
It does. Absolutely. It's like all of us that are, are music lovers or musicians or in the arts, so we know that, we feel that. And so just to be able to see that in others' lives who are going through something like this, it's just, gosh, what a testimony to music, to the arts, to just that real felt emotional just well-being and peace that we feel when we listen to our favorite song or when we sit down at our instrument, and it is emotional therapy, absolutely.
Absolutely. I mean, tell me about the actual piece then, which you've called Prayers for Cassie. You composed it and you decided to for it to be with a cellist. And so tell me about the composition and then about the chosen cellist.
Thank you. So yes, the piece of music itself, Prayers for Cassie, is an anthemic, really a cry for healing, is what the mission statement is in the piece of music. And it's a piano and cello duet. And I had composed it, obviously, with Cassie and her story in mind. Composed it in 2017, and it is a melodic anthem, and as we were really putting this project together, it was clear to me in Cassie's story and what we were trying to do with creating this anthem of hope, that that's what we wanted it to be. That's what we want it to be moving forward, is just an anthem of hope for all who encounter cancer on life's journey. And so it has it's a melodic anthem. It is an emotional anthem, and it really kind of, in our estimation, kind of tells the arc of Cassie's story, and kind of shares that with the world, from kind of this whispering statement in the beginning to this grand anthemic, again trying to illustrate the cry for healing, the prayers moving forward to a quiet ending. And so for us, it was just trying to put her story into music, and trying to have it be this anthem of hope for all who are going through it.
Yeah, I know it's really, really moving. And tell me
Thank you.
about the cellist, Tina Guo. Am I saying it
Yes.
correctly?
Yes, Tina Guo.
Oh, Guo.
So it was such an incredible experience working with Tina. So Tina is actually the solo cellist for Hans Zimmer. And so she has played on many, many, many blockbusters that Hans Zimmer has composed the soundtracks to. So everything from, Wonder Woman to Man of Steel to all of these incredible moving blockbusters. And so when we're going through the process of the production and thinking, okay, who can we ask? And I thought, gosh, it would be amazing if Tina was interested in the project and available. And I reached out, and I'm so thankful that she loved the piece of music and loved the mission that we have with creating hope for those going through cancer. And so she said, "Josh, I love the piece. I love the mission. When can we visit? I'd love to be a part of this." And so it was an absolutely incredible experience. She is an amazing, amazing cellist. Just absolutely incredible, but also just an amazing human being. So gracious with her time and with being a part of this project. And so she recorded her cello for us. This was in the fall of 2023, and then the spring of tw early spring of 2024, we were able actually to do a music video shoot in Bel Air. So thankful for that. It was just such a moving experience. And I watch it and I just think, gosh, this the look of it, the cinematographer did an absolutely incredible job. Joel Moody and our editor, DJ Fellows, our mix engineer, David Brown, but just the look of it, just to us just embodies what the piece is about. Just this grand telling, this epic telling of the story, and the hope, this timeless hope that we're trying to bring.
Oh, that's wonderful. No, it is absolutely a beautiful film. Now, how are you
Thank you.
managing to get it out there? Obviously you forwarded it to me, but how is it getting out to the world? How are you doing?
Yes. Yeah, so yes, and we are still taking steps, even now. Of course, we released it mid-spring, so we did a large social media push, and so that was really thankful for that. Our reel, the music video reel, had over 100,000 views on it, which we're so thankful for, and lots of shares, and so we're really on top of social media, just trying to share it with friends, with family, with those undergoing cancer. We also had the opportunity to work with several nonprofits for the project, and so American Cancer Society is a collaborator, Dear Jack Foundation is a collaborator on the project, and Hearts Need Art as well. So our nonprofits are helping us to get it out there a little bit, and yeah, and even still we're taking steps, so hoping to be able to share potentially with media outlets as well, as we're just trying to share as much as we can and get it out there as best we can too.
Have you ever thought about making a proper album? Like, that could be one on the album. It could be an album about healing, or I don't know.
Yes, I'm actually glad you mentioned that. So we actually have, this is the full documentary soundtrack for Prayers for Cassie, which is releasing next Friday, so June 27th. So the single, obviously, from the project is Prayers for Cassie, but the full soundtrack is actually about 30 minutes, and it's all of the scores that I composed and produced. So that's going to be on all streaming platforms next Friday.
Wonderful.
Yes.
But not just Song for
So
Cassie, other pieces as well.
every little piece of music that you hear in that production, that to me honestly is just the most intimate collection of music I think that I've ever had the opportunity to compose. Obviously, it's for such an amazing cause with bringing hope, underscoring cancer, Cassie's story, her cancer story, but also for me. So I grew up, when I was 15 years old, my grandmother was diagnosed with breast cancer, and I had never written a piece of music before that. And so for me, I sat down. I had had years of classical piano lessons, and I had improvised a little bit, but I sat down and I started to write music just based on what she was going through, based on my emotional response to that. And that really
My
kind of
goodness.
put me on the path to being a composer. And so I've always had that in the back of my mind, just the cause for cancer, that global humanitarian cause has been so important to me ever since I was a young teenager. And so I just feel like this project of music in particular is just of the utmost importance, because it's just trying to bring obviously awareness, but trying to also bring music therapy, emotional therapy to those who are going through it, and just with the hope of find of being a cure, there being a cure someday for this illness, and just helping others who are going through it.
I mean, at the end of the documentary, I thought it was very nice how you actually featured a Chopin Nocturne with Cassie herself playing. It was very beautiful. I can't quite remember which Chopin Nocturne, but
Yes.
sounds very beautiful and poignant.
Thank you. Yes, we that was part of the document. It's at the very, very tail end, and we were trying to kind of, we were kind of going back and forth, but what should we have as the credits music? Okay, I could compose or produce something else. And we just thought, we just think it's going to be of the just so appropriate just to have Cassie herself playing. And so that's from a recital that Cassie gave, just a live audio recording that she had shared with us. And so yeah, you're hearing her play throughout the credits, and then at the end of the credits, it does cut to her the final two chords that just we feel just sends off this hope piece that we were hoping to accomplish with Cassie herself, the one who's gone through this giant journey, just helping to send this production off with hope. For those that are listening, hearing, and watching and going through it.
Is Cassie still your student? Is she still playing?
She is still playing. I'm not teaching her currently anymore. She's actually let's see, they've moved her. So she got married about 3 years ago. Yes, and so she still plays from what I understand. So yeah, she her husband is a pediatric cardiologist, and so they yeah they I think have moved to a new residency. But yeah, just an amazing amazing person, amazing family, and wonderful musician too, as you heard from the credits and the last part there.
Fabulous. Well, let's maybe talk a bit about you, the musician. I mean, what's you yourself as a pianist? What do you play every day? What do you like to learn?
Oh, thank you. As I mentioned, I kind of have this diverse background. I'm a classical musician, so I learned, the wonderful greats, the Beethoven and Chopin and Schumann, Mozart. So I was a piano performance major at Texas State University here in Texas, and then I went on to get my composition degree, my graduate degree. Because I just have always loved composing and playing. And so when I sit down every day, to me, I tend to improvise based on kind of how I'm feeling during the day. And sometimes that will lead to pieces of music. And so, it kind of tends to happen that I'll kind of come back to an idea and go, I need to develop that, or especially if it's based around something that either something that I'm going through or something that someone else is going through. If there is a human connection to it, I tend to want to explore it and just to see if it kind of wants to be a complete piece of music. But yeah, that tends to be what I play is I'll sit down. We have just an upright Yamaha piano in our living room, and then I have
Great.
a piano here in my studio. But I'll just sit down and play, and for me, just as I was kind of alluding to, it is that emotional therapy. It is cathartic. It is just you can retreat to that, and improvise and compose, and it's just something that can never go away from you. You always have that, and that capability. And just even as even for the non-composers out there, just playing, taking out a Mozart piece of music or a Chopin, it's just, gosh, so cathartic and so therapeutic.
Do you think anyone can learn to improvise?
I do think so. I'm grateful for my growing up in a household full of musicians. My dad is an acoustic guitarist, and a teacher, a music minister. My mother is a lyricist, and so growing up in the house, there was always music. And so I'm grateful that I feel like in addition to having the piano lessons, there was always that encouragement to just sit down and see if you can figure out something by ear, or just sit down, let me kind of show you some patterns, and you can kind of translate that to kind of how you're feeling. And I feel like that yeah, anybody can with the right training and the right encouragement, that can really be part of what people can do with music, with piano. Just like people can learn to obviously to read music, I feel like they can learn to improvise as well.
That's fantastic. So they don't really need to know their keyboard harmony.
Yeah, I think it's a nice, to me it's like a nice blend of things is always helpful. So, knowing patterns and knowing scales structures, very, very helpful. And I think that, to me, I think that you can kind of translate that, like, having the knowledge of scales, or and or arpeggios and chords and different voicings, and those can really kind of translate to, if you sit down and you can kind of improvise or kind of play through, and chord progressions. I think, progressions and melodic lines, they tend to have this kind of emotional content kind of
Of
tied
course.
to them, and so I think especially just sitting down and playing through chord structures or playing through some melodic content, it'll to me it tends to kind of bring about different emotions. And so that's kind of the beauty, I think, of improvising, is just kind of exploring that. It's an open path, so yeah,
Fantastic.
I think that everybody can experience that, again, with some training and with some encouragement. And I think it's there for everybody.
Do you have a favorite composer or a favorite style?
Yes, I would say, gosh, probably favorite composer, in kind of o over time, would probably have to be Beethoven. I love, just, yeah, his writing, just so emotional, so impactful, dramatic, just it just stands out to me. So I would say, probably, if I can make it a two-way tie, I would say Beethoven and Chopin would be my other favorite. I actually, this is a true story. I was in first grade, and my dad was driving me to a birthday party, and he had the classical station on, and I remember to this day, Chopin's Revolutionary Etude
Oh,
came
yes.
on the radio. And for those that don't know it's just this amazing,
Yes.
majestic, epic piece, just full of power. It's just a solo piano piece, but it's just full of
Oh,
power.
amazing.
Just fast, just so impactful. And I told my dad, as a little first grader, I was like, "Dad, what is that?" And he told me, the name of the piece, and I said, "I need to learn how to do that someday."
And
And
did
he
you?
was
Can
like,
you play it?
"Okay," and I did, thankfully. And I've told, like, friends and family since then, like, I'm so glad that, like, my dad wasn't just like, "Oh, okay, son, yeah, okay, that's fine." But he actually took me seriously as a little first grader, and he got me signed up in lessons, and that kind of set me up to just take those steps. And so, yeah, definitely Chopin has a just a really important part of my musical language and upbringing. So yeah, Beethoven, Chopin, favorite composers just o over time. And I love piano music of today as well.
Yes, of
Gosh,
course.
just we were just talking about the emotional impact of music, and I just think, just pianists, like Olafur Arnold's, for me, just so moving, so impactful. I'm a huge music fan. My playlist is as diverse as they come.
Oh, that's
So
good. That's
yeah,
nice to
I
hear.
love it.
And you as a pianist, and I ask this to lots of pianists, the top concert pianists of the world, do you have any particular technical issues, struggles at the piano?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, depending on the style or the piece that I'm learning or that I'm working on, there's always things that I will fall back on. Falling back on my training. I was just mentioning the Revolutionary Etude. So, for example, such a fast piece, it's so technically demanding. But there are things that, if I'm working on a fast piece of music like that, there are things that I'll do. Just number one, and things that I learned from my wonderful teachers, Ken Thompson and Tim Woolsey, particularly, my piano teachers. Practicing at slow tempo, obviously, is so helpful. In practicing in rhythms too. So, like, I'm thinking of this cascading intro that the Chopin piece has in the beginning. Down, do, 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 just, his left hand is just going crazy. And so, practicing that in rhythm, so, placing emphasis on the first note of every four, and then practicing emphasis with the placing emphasis on the second note of every four notes, and then the third note of every four notes. So it kind of helps the brain to really kind of focus in on these notes that if you were just practicing it fast, you would just kind of blur them, But
Yes.
if you're practicing in a very mindful way, you're bringing this attention to different all the notes at different points in time. So helpful. So practicing rhythms, and also blocking
Yes.
is super helpful too. Just in again, I'm thinking about the Revolutionary Etude, and so taking these patterns that, if you look at them just in a linear format, it's like, oh my gosh, like all these notes, how am I supposed to do this? But things like rhythms can break it down, blocking can break it down. So breaking it into these kind of large scale patterns with your left hand, so instead of and this kind of cascading, like, oh my gosh, how many notes are here? You can kind of break it down into, maybe I'm going to play the first three notes in my left hand and quote block, those notes out, and then I'm going to play the next four in a block in a pattern, and then the next two after that completes the trajectory going up. So these kind of three blocks, and then go back down with the three blocks. Again, helping our brain to really make connections and kind of solidify these blocks, so that it's not a you're not climbing this gigantic mountain of all these notes. First, you're blocking it off into strategic giant steps here, and then you can kind of go through with the notes. Things like that are so helpful to me, just to fall back on the training, because it works. It works, worked back then, it works to this day.
No, it's really good, and I think that's really great advice to all pianists, whether amateur or professional. This blocking definitely, and of course practicing slowly.
Yes.
Oh wow, so listen, we're coming to the end here. What are you up to next? What are you up to this summer, for the rest of the year? Any exciting projects for people to know
Well,
about?
thank you. So yes, as I mentioned, the documentary soundtrack comes out next Friday, June 27th. I just can't wait for that. And then moving past that, in the fall, I'm supposed to be working on a feature film project, so composing music for that. I'm so excited about that too. As things get closer, I'll be able to share more details from my socials. But that's something that I can't wait to start as well. And then also in the fall, looking to release another piano piece as well. So I have an idea for one. I'm composing it at the moment, and so can't wait to share that as well. That'll be in the fall, in addition to working on the feature film score. So yeah, I'm excited about some things to come.
Oh, listen, it's been wonderful. And I will try at pianist to share your anthem prayers for Cassie so listeners can hear it.
Thank you.
Because it really is great. And I think
Thank you so much.
what you're doing is fantastic. Anything to help fight against cancer is a good cause, isn't it?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your help and helping us to get the message out there, the piece of music and the documentary. We really appreciate it.
Oh, you're very welcome, Josh. Well, it's been a pleasure speaking to you.
Thank you so much. You too, Erica. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Was the opening of Hymn for Helpers, and it was played by Josh Cavassos. Pianist podcasts are free, and a really good way to support what we do is by subscribing to Pianist. Visit our website at pianistmagazine.com and listen to us on YouTube by searching Pianist Magazine. And don't forget to sign up to our newsletter, which is full of extra playing tips and useful information. Go to pianistmagazine.com to find out how to sign up.